This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. February is Black History Month, and we're exploring artists of many different kinds. But this week, we wanted to dive into Michigan music history. I know, Detroit, right? But we decided to go beyond Motown to talk about all the working artists playing in clubs and dances and truly making the culture that is Detroit. Melvin Davis, the singer known in soul circles as Detroit's soul ambassador, is our guest today. A resident of the city since 1945, he played with everyone from Smokey Robinson to David Ruffin to Wayne Kramer, and is a solo artist in his own right. We also invited Dan Austin, history buff, DJ, and host of the Motor City Soul Club. Dan spent years tracking down songs and stories. I started out by asking Melvin how music became an influence in his life.
You know, music, I like to say, is the soundtrack of life.
I first met you, you were just another girl, yeah.
So no matter what situation you're involved in, whether you're at war, whether you're getting married, whether you're angry, whether you're happy, whether you're celebrating, whether you're disappointed, music, there's a song for everything. And it touches us in ways that words and actions just couldn't.
And was that how it was in your home when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, there was always music, always.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my mom, she's passed away now for 12 years, but every single morning, the first thing she'd do when she'd get up before she even started breakfast would turn the radio on.
What was she listening to?
Oh, you know, like rhythm and blues, the usual shows that bring the popular music to the public.
And were there bands in town that she knew of or that she would play for you?
Well, her and my dad, they used to go to the Paradise. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
I'd certainly heard of it.
Yeah, well, it was a place where all the top acts from Lionel Hampton, Duke Ellington, and her and my dad would occasionally go down there.
How did this become a professional concern for you?
Well, that's a good question because it's sort of, I like to say I do music, but music does me. And it was a bug. I always loved music when I was young. I had a great sense of rhythm that I wasn't even aware of, but I just knew that I was a great dancer. I could ham-bone my butt off. And, later on, it started with the doo-wops, you know, and I was standing on the corner trying to harmonize with the guys at school in the bathroom where the great reverberation and you had a natural echo chamber.
Best acoustics. And,
yeah.
Say, man, you're looking downhearted, trying hard to make it, and you just can't seem to get started.
And that's how it all started. You know, it starts from the heart. The music business and music are two entirely different things.
Of course.
Without a doubt. I love music with all my heart. The business, you know. Take it or leave it, rather leave it.
And surely you can solve them.
Were there artists that you looked up to as you were beginning to play and beginning to do gigs?
I think everyone has their idols, everyone. And I loved great songs, and my favorite male artist was Jackie Wilson, and still is.
Your love lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it.
And my favorite female artist is Etta James. They just had a vibrational presence in their voices that just penetrates your soul. There are so many nuances that happens in a singer's voice that so many people aren't really aware of. Just how they end notes and, you know, the energy that they put on each syllable. Jackie Wilson was an amazing, amazing individual.
I know that the music business can be intensely competitive, but were there artists who you both were impressed with and also you considered colleagues? or peers?
Well, you know, when you just said competitive, that's something that's very important, because that's one thing about Detroit, the competition. It's part of what made Detroit so dynamic and such a phenomenal music mecca. And I like to use the line that competition creates excellence, because it does.
It's often said by local artists that Detroit has the toughest audiences and maybe the toughest critics, too. Melvin, did you find that to be the case back in the 1960s?
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. Like I say, the competition was fierce. And that competition created excellence. And I think if I had been in another city, well, first of all, if I was in another city, I wouldn't be this Melvin Davis, because I was influenced by and encouraged by so many great musicians and singers and producers. You know, I mean, if you think that your stuff is the greatest, then you know, you got the wrong attitude. People will tell you what it is. You don't have to, oh, this is going to be the biggest hit, and then you'll be disappointed, because it won't be. And then the great musicians like James Jamerson, Earl Van Dyke, the great drummers, Pistol Allen, Benny Benjamin, they were not like snobbish people. And that gave me the energy and the confidence to go on. If James Jamerson says it's good, well, I'm never gonna stop.
Was there a moment when you knew that something special was happening with all those different personalities and people coming together?
Oh, absolutely. The energy lets you know, because anytime something that you just can't get away from, you know, I ate, slept, and everything I did was music. If I was awake, I was doing music. If I was asleep, I was dreaming about it. Music and girls. And with that, I'll let Dan, comment on that, because knowing Dan Awesome the way that I do, he has been really touched and influenced by Detroit's music scene. And I just wonder, Dan, at what age did you start becoming fascinated and really interested in music and realizing that it was going to be a part of your life for the rest of your days?
Probably when I was like 8 or 9, but it wasn't until I was late teens, early 20s, I got to the good stuff. For me, it was weird because I've always had even though I grew up in the suburbs, unfortunately, I've always had a tremendous amount of Detroit pride. So for me, it was more about digging into Detroit's musical heritage and trying to discover all of these artists. And it just so happens that a lot of them are really, really good. I mean, there are people all over the world who are, you know, they honor, they revere, if not worship, people like Melvin. I mean, Melvin can play in front of a couple hundred people here in Detroit at the Lager House, but he goes overseas and he's playing in front of thousands of people. And it, so it's, for me, there's always been this push to try to get Detroiters, Metro Detroiters, Michiganders, to appreciate what it is that we export to the rest of the world. And I don't feel like people here really get it. It is such an honor to have people like Melvin who are still performing right here in our own backyards. And I think it's great whenever you just are walking down the street and you bump into, I don't know, Willie Kendrick or somebody. And,
yeah,
you know, he's just sitting there drinking coffee, people watching in the Fisher Building because, you know, he's just a regular guy.
I mean, to me, the reason that scenario is a reality is because we have so much talent.
Just literally on every block.
On every block. And yeah. I think that's why it's not revered the way that it is in other countries and in other cities. It's because you're just too close to it.
Yeah, we have too much of it. You take it for granted, I think. I mean, it's not just soul music. Obviously, there's Motown, but you know, Melvin is one of hundreds of artists from Detroit in the 1960s who put out music every bit as good as what was coming out of Hitsville Studios. They just didn't sell as many copies.
We've been talking today with Dan Austin, DJ and host of the Motor City Soul Club, and also with Melvin Davis, Detroit's soul ambassador. Dan, there's a lot of music. Who comes to your mind when you think about music that people don't realize was made, that didn't come out of Motown proper?
Man, well, I mean, I think Aretha Franklin is probably the biggest one. I mean, Aretha was not a Motown artist, but a lot of people associate her with it.
You're no good, heartbreaker, a liar and a cheat. And I don't know why I let you do these things to me.
Jackie Wilson, for an older crowd, I mean, Jackie Wilson died in 1984. He was in a coma for 10 years before that, so there was a long period where, you know, people might know Higher and Higher or some of his bigger hits, Lonely Teardrops, but he's not on the same cusp as Aretha.
And I'm stuck like glue, but I never, 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 no, no, love a man the way that I love you.
There are lots of artists from Detroit who might not be huge locally, but I mean overseas, my goodness. I mean, you go into YouTube and you punch in Melvin Davis, I Must Love You, and it's got, you know, whatever, million plays. So there, the music might not be known here in Detroit, but it's certainly known all over the world.
So the record industry was a fledgling industry at that time. And I like to talk about United Sound because we had one of the best recording facilities, well, on the Eastern Seaboard. You had to go to New York to get a better sound than you would achieve at United Sound. United Sound allowed 300 fledgling record labels to participate in the music industry.
That's a lot of songs.
That's a lot of songs, and that's a lot of participation.
What was it like, you know, playing shows or for other aspects of the business for those artists who were not working on Motown or the Tamla label?
One of the main ingredients in the success of Detroit's music history is opportunity. So opportunity was everywhere. And I think that was caused by other ingredients, like the fact that there was the auto industry, there was upward movement.
Ha! What you see is what you get. It's what you get. What you see is what you get. It's what you get.
And they had the money to go out and support these different clubs and bars and situations, and the schools had sock hops and the DJs. See, one thing about Detroit, without the DJs, how would you get your music to the marketplace? How would anybody even hear it?
Right.
You know, we talk about Motown, and that's a great thing. I'm so proud of them. That's our crowning glory. I work with Motown as a studio, as a road drummer. I was Smokey Robinson's drummer for 2.5 years. I was the Temptations' first drummer. I played for Martha Reeves. I played for the original. So I was a staff drummer at Motown, so I'm very proud of their accomplishments, of course. But what happened outside of Motown only would enhance Motown, and it should never, you know, negate the contributions that people like myself have made. It just shouldn't.
I was just going to jump in there real quick and say, and that's kind of what the Motor City Soul Club is all about, is that we don't play, you know, you're not going to hear Baby Love at one of our events or one of our podcasts because everybody knows that song. They've heard it a million times. Our whole thing is about trying to introduce people to music that has been forgotten, at least here in Detroit. We want someone to walk out of that show saying, I have no idea how I've lived my entire life to this point without having heard that song. You know, and get people out there, not necessarily record collecting, but just being turned on to a new old sound.
Before we leave the, you know, the golden age, I wanted to just ask you if you have any memories of what happened to the music industry in Detroit, what was going on in the scene when Motown moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, you know, music is a moving thing. And what's in style right now will not be in style a few years from now. Every generation has to have their own identity. So Motown was on the verge of not being the top shelf dominant force in the music industry that it was in the 60s in the late 60s, the whole psychedelic thing was coming along. You know, the whole rock scene with Hendrix and, you know, that whole scene was changing. The music was expanding and growing. You had Sly and the Family Stone. The style of music, you know, was it's supposed to do that. But just like with everything in the music industry, the variety gets circumvented when they want to, you know, put it into like a commercial form, because then it stops growing.
When markets decide that it's time for something else.
So I think that's what happened. You know, like at the end of '60s, Motown had run its course, so to speak. It was a course like no other in history, but it wasn't going to be forever, like nothing is forever. Nothing. They had a great turn.
Gentlemen, I have one last question for you. We are 50 and sometimes 60 years removed from a lot of this history. How important is it to you to catalog these songs and stories and recognize these artists while they're still with us?
Well, I think this is very important because it is the history of the city. And for other countries to utilize our history to create harmony and unity in their communities, why in the world can't we have that in the city where it was created?
I know I'm biased, but in my opinion, there will never be better music created ever. You know, we're moving into this era of auto-tune and computer sampling and everything. These are incredible arrangements, incredible songwriting. The competition that Melvin was talking about was driving folks like nothing had we've ever seen. And it wasn't about making a lot of money. It was about just making good music.
Bringing joy and setting the style for the entire planet.
Yeah, so if we lose it, I mean, we're losing perhaps the most creative era of music ever. Yeah, like I said, it'll never be matched. But I feel like Detroit being the hub of creativity, a vision of art that it is, I think that in this city, our past always influences our future.
And Motown is extremely important, and it should be. It's the crowning glory. But when you start to dig into the vast roots that are buried here in the city, it only enhances Motown, and it makes the story so much more interesting and so much bigger.
Melvin Davis, Detroit's own soul ambassador. We've also been talking today with Dan Austin, who you can find out and about hosting the Motor City Soul Club. Gentlemen, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for making a little time for us.
For me, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and any time at all. Thank you. And Detroit, soul, rock and roll, rhythm and blues. Keep on dancing.
We're going to go out today on Melvin's song, Find a Quiet Place and Be Lonely. A clean original vinyl pressing of this one is retailing for about $1,800. That's our show for today. I'm April Bear. Thanks for listening. Hey!